The following is a seminar entitled How to Preach, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on December 9th, 2012, in Vrindavan Garden, Phoenix, Mauritius.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Paragamanam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shcha Namaam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschanjade Satarine. So I see here many different rules about preaching, but if one understands the essence of preaching, then the rules come automatically. This is not the International Society for Rules and Regulations. So one actually understands the essence of preaching, which is compassion. Everything else comes. It's not by memorizing some rules. Now these are good points, but we have to understand the essence of these points. And these are actually very nice points. I can see they're taken from Prabhupada's books. Many points I'm seeing. This first point is very nice. One has to set the example. So, the example is there, then that is very powerful. If one is not actually setting the example, then his words have no potency. And it's also a nice point to change the heart. You have to inspire someone to become Krishna conscious. Of course, sometimes you have to, if people come forward to attack, we have to defend our Vaishnava Siddhanta. That's also there. It's not that we are aggressive people. We are very, we just want to glorify Krishna and relish the sweet mellows of Krishna bhakti. But if someone comes to try to defeat us, actually it is our duty to defeat them. Someone should know the art of preaching. One has to also know the art of defeating counter those who come with arguments. We have to be able to defeat them. Prabhupada actually told us that in preaching. He said, you ask them what is their philosophy, and then you defeat them. So that's very important, to be able to defeat the atheist arguments. To know that those arguments is a very, very important thing in preaching. A preacher should be very well armed with philosophical arguments. How to defeat impersonalism, how to defeat hedonism, how to defeat atheism. So many things are degraded things. How to defeat cow killing or baby killing now is very popular in the abortion clinics. We have to have arguments for defeating all of these things. It's a very important thing. It's like a warrior on the battlefield. No matter what you do, he can defeat. There was one Nepali. Those Nepali soldiers, what are they called? Some name for them. Anyway, he was fighting in Afghanistan, a Nepali soldier. And he was so valiant, the Al-Qaeda, he was all alone at a guard post. And he personally killed 30 or 40 Al-Qaeda attackers. He killed every one of them. Even if he had to just use some physical thing, he had to take... But he was very expert at defeating all the attacks, so the Queen Elizabeth gave him some special recognition. So a devotee is like that. He can defeat all opposing arguments. So a devotee should be very expert in defeating Mayavadi philosophy, especially. Because that is the mission of Prabhupada. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaudavani Pracharini. Prabhupada was one time preaching to at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Boston, and one Indian man was a Mayavadi. He said, "Swamiji, it's all one." He was very adamant on this point. Prabhupada grabbed his shirt. He said, "If it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball?" Just to make the point very clear. Devotees misunderstood. They thought, "Oh no, Swamiji is getting angry. Call the cab, we got to get him out of here. He's losing his temper." But they didn't realize, you see. That, no, this Prabhupada is simply using a forceful argument to defeat this rascal. So sometimes we have to use very forceful arguments. Preacher has to be very strong sometimes. It's like one time I was out distributing Simply Wonderfuls on the street by the university campus in Florida. And one hippie boy, he was very puffed up. He thought he'd have a little fun. He hit my basket of Simply Wonderfuls and they all went flying out in the street. All the sweets, all the prasadam out in the middle of the street. So that's an offensive thing he did. So was I supposed to be humble and just say, "Go like this"? No, I became very strong. I yelled at that boy, at the top of my lungs actually. I pointed right in his face and I yelled at him. I said, "You better get out there and pick up all those sweets right now." And he did it. That anger snapped him out of his puffed up mood. He ran out in the street and picked up all the sweets. Now the light had turned red and all these cars were sitting there. The sweets were in the middle of the intersection. He ran out before the light turned green. He ran out and picked up all the sweets. I helped him a little bit. We got all the sweets picked up before the light turned green. Not one sweep is run over by the car, you see. So preaching means you have to be able to make strong arguments sometimes. So these are very important things. We should not be sectarian. Our philosophy is not sectarian. That's the first thing to understand. Our philosophy, we are not another sect of religion. This is a very important point to understand. Krishna consciousness is the essence of religion. One who is actually Krishna conscious, he is the best Christian, the best Hindu, the best Jew, and the best Muslim. Is he? Because Allah is a name for Krishna. I have no problem saying Allah Akbar. We go to one Indian store in Austin, it's owned by a Muslim man. I have no problem saying Hare Krishna, Allah Akbar, you see. I can say he's a good, he knows it. He has many Hindu customers, so he's pretty mellow, but you know. But We have, we can say, praise Jesus, Allah Akbar. We have no problem. You see, Jesus is a pure devotee of Krishna. You see, we have no problem. Praise Jesus, I have no problem. Praise Jesus. You see, Allah Akbar. We have no problem. Allah is a name for Krishna. Jesus is a pure devotee of Krishna. You see, we're not trying to convert people from one religion to another. If you think like that, you don't understand what Krishna consciousness is. It's not another religion. You see, people are fighting over religion because they don't know what is religion. How many suns are there in the sky? There's only one. How many names are there for the sun? There's thousands of, or at least hundreds of names according to the different languages of this planet. So God is one, although He has different names. So every religion, any bona fide religious system, is Vaishnavism on certain different levels, you see. Christianity and Judaism and the Islam, they are Vaishnavism on the Kanishta level. That's how they are. They're Kanishta Vaishnavism. They're Vaishnavas. They're worshipping, when he worships one supreme God, they are Vaishnavas. They are just Kanishtas. That's all. Kanishta Vaishnavas. They are the same family as us. They're just neophytes. That's all. You can study the conversation between how Lord Chaitanya preached to the Muslims in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see. How Prabhupada preaches the Christians. Someone says you have to accept Jesus, you're going to hell. I just say, well, when are you going to accept Him? You know? When will you accept Him? I see you're doing so many sinful activities, smoking cigarettes, eating meat. When will you accept Jesus? You see? I'm not intimidated by these people. I know what rascals they are. You see, they talk about Jesus and they do all nonsense. So we have to understand there's no philosophy. This is the highest level of knowledge in the world. This is the highest level of knowledge. We're not going out as simply another, you know, another group with another different dogma. This Bhagavatam says, Dharmak Prajata Kaitava Trapadamo Nirmatsaranam Stitam Vejam Vastavamastu Shivadam Tapatrayam Mulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Katinkataya Vishvaraha Sadya Hidda Vrindate Krishna Shushu Shubhishtachavichachanam. I'm missing a little bit. Dharma Projajakaita Bhata Padamo Nirmat Saranam Satam Vejam Vastavam Vedam Mastavam Shivadam Tapatrayon Mulanam Srimad Bhagavate Mahamune Kritankin Vaiparaya Rishvaraha Sadyohid Yavarujyate Kratichibhishushu Shubhishtachanat. Completely rejecting all religious systems that are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization, self-realization. What need is there for any other scripture? As soon as one is attentively and submissively hears the message of the Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, becomes fully established within his heart. So we have to, if you want to preach, you have to be convinced that this is the topmost knowledge, you see. If you're not convinced this is the topmost knowledge, as confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya, if you're not convinced that this is the topmost knowledge, how you can preach? You won't be able to preach. You have to be convinced that this is the topmost knowledge anywhere in the universe. And you can't find this knowledge anywhere, in the Bible, the Quran, at Harvard University, Oxford University, in any philosopher in history. You cannot, this knowledge goes beyond anything available anywhere in the whole world. You have to be convinced of this. Any scientist, any philosopher, any politician, any poet, you see? This knowledge exceeds everything. If you have to have this conviction, otherwise you cannot preach. You have to have this conviction. You have to have the conviction that these people are suffering, they are dying without Krishna consciousness. Therefore, my duty in life is to give people of this, make everybody on this planet Krishna conscious. That's preacher. Preacher means I accept that my duty is to make every person on this planet Krishna conscious. Beginning with myself. You see, that's preacher. You can't be a preacher just by studying these rules and regulations and repeating them on a test. That doesn't make you a preacher. If you want to preach, you have to be convinced that if these people don't become Krishna conscious, they're going to become dogs and cats in their next lives, and snakes, and germs, and weeds. You have to be convinced. The only hope these people have is to become Krishna conscious. You can't think that Krishna is another one of the gods. And see, I remember one of my godbrothers, he was not yet a devotee, but he was a Peace Corps worker with the U.S. government. And he met with Prabhupada in Mayapur. He said, Prabhupada, how do we convince others? Prabhupada said, first you be convinced. If you are absolutely convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can convince the whole world. But you have to be convinced. Simply sitting in a Hare Krishna meeting and putting some tilak on your nose, that's not sufficient. You have to be convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. You have to know why He is the Supreme Personality of God. And someone says, well, where does Krishna come from? What will you say? What is the, if someone asks you, what is the origin of Krishna? What will you say? I'm asking you, what is the origin of Krishna? You don't know. Krishna is the origin of Krishna. Krishna is the origin of everything. Therefore, Krishna is the origin of Krishna. You see, you have to understand this philosophy. It's actually confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. I worship who have been to the primeval Lord who manifested himself as Krishna. That's stated in the Brahma Samhita. Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishtan Nanavatara Makarod Vibhaneshya Kintu Krishna Svayam Samavat Paramat Parama Krishna Svayam Samavat Govinda Maripurisham Damaham Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Krishna, who manifests himself as Krishna and the different avatars in this world, such as Ramana, Sringa, Vamana, etc., as the subjective portions. So you have to read these, to get these sort of understandings, you have to regularly study these books. You have to study Prabhupada's books. You have to deeply take these books into your heart, this knowledge deep into your heart. You have to have an understanding and a full conviction that Prabhupada books or perfect knowledge. They are not the words of simply some philosopher or speculator. Prabhupada's teachings are the words of a fully self-realized soul who is guided by the Lord Krishna within his heart how to write these books. Preaching should be done in a humble mood, not in an attitude of superiority. That's true. For ourselves, we feel very lowly and humble. But we understand the knowledge is superior. There's a difference. If you're very humble about the knowledge, well, the knowledge isn't that great either. You see, that's not right. For yourself, you should feel, I'm simply a rascal. When you're preaching to somebody in the street, you think, if this person was Krishna conscious, he'd be a better devotee than me. Because I can see he's a hardworking, intelligent person. I'm a lazy, spaced out person. Somehow or other, I'm lucky I became a devotee. You should feel you should always appreciate the good qualities of the people you're preaching to. Admire their good qualities. Actually, one trick in preaching is you have to like the person you're speaking to. If I'm going to convince you to hear from me, and you don't like me, are you going to hear from me? No way. But if you like me, you will be glad to hear from me, isn't it? So how will you like me? If I don't like you, will you like me? No. But if you can see, oh, this person really likes me. He really likes me. Well, he likes me, so I like him. Because I can see he likes me. So the first thing you have to do when you're preaching to somebody is you have to, they have to feel that you really like them. You care about them. You love them. The first thing is they have to feel this person really likes me, you see. Because if you like me, then I will like you and I'll hear what you have to say. At least I'll be respectful enough to hear what you have to say because you like me, you see. So this humble mood means, do you like them? You're willing to take them as your personal friend because you like them. That's part of what it means to be humble. But as far as the knowledge goes, we know there's no knowledge that equals Krishna consciousness. That's not pride. That's a fact. It's confirmed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Raja Vidya, this is the topmost knowledge. If you think this is the topmost knowledge, are you puffed up? If you think this is the topmost knowledge, is that your false pride? No. That's your proper understanding of Siddhanta, Vaishnava Siddhanta. That's your proper understanding of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says this is the king of all knowledge. If you think this knowledge is higher than anything taught at that University of Mauritius over there. Are you puffed up? No. But if you think you're a big pure devotee, hotshot, then you're a rascal, you see. You should feel, well, I'm not really qualified, really, even. I'm not really even a devotee, you see. Someone says, are you a devotee of Krishna? Well, I haven't reached that level yet. I'm trying to be a devotee, you see. That's our proper myth. I'm not really a devotee yet. I'm trying to become a devotee of Krishna. Right now, I'm a devotee of Maya. But I want to become a devotee of Krishna. So you should feel very lowly about yourself, but you should have absolute conviction this is the superior knowledge anywhere available in this universe. When preaching, we should simply repeat the words of the spiritual master like a postman. That's true, but don't forget Desha Kalapatra. You have to be able to present the words of Guru according to time, place, and circumstance. Just like when if you're preaching to a room full of Christians, it's one type of lecture. If you're preaching to a room full of Muslims, it's a different type of lecture. You have to learn how to speak according to your audience. So how do you learn that art? Where is the training? There's only one way to do it. You see, that's to get out and do it. I can teach you how to do the swimming strokes, but I throw you in the water, then you really learn. You see. So if you'll take Prabhupada's books and you go door to door, you will learn how to preach. If you take every opportunity you can get to preach, you will learn by doing it. Krishna has blessed me over the years. I've had many, many wonderful preaching opportunities, and they just keep coming. Preaching is something you learn by going out there and depending on Krishna to help you in that situation. Feeling helpless, that, my dear Lord, what can I do in this situation? I don't know how I can properly represent you. Please help me. If you have that humble mood, then Krishna will, from within your heart, guide you how to speak in such a way that your words will have a powerful impact on your audience and completely revolutionize their consciousness. If you were the last person, if every other devotee had gone back to Godhead, and you were the only Hare Krishna devotee on this planet, what would you do? Would you give up Krishna consciousness and join the herd? Or would you be determined to make a revolution on this planet? I challenge you. What will be your move? That should be your mood now. Is your mood just to go along with the herd? Or is your mood for making a revolution on this planet? Our Vaishnava Sampradaya is a Sampradaya of spiritual revolutionaries, not dumb followers. So, we're followers, but we're not dumb followers. We are following a revolutionary Sampradaya. See, the Mayavadis, they say, yeah, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all one. I'm sorry, our philosophy is, Prabhupada said, we are right and you are wrong. That is our philosophy. We are good and you are bad. Prabhupada actually said that. We are good and you are bad. We don't openly say that, but we know that's the reality. That's not a good tactic in preaching. Sometimes, depending on the situation, Prabhupada could get away with it, you know. You could tell a scientist, you're a demon, and he would say, yeah, you're right. But you have to see what you can get away with, you know. Don't try to imitate somebody. You see how you can effectively preach. That's what you have to see. According to your own level of purity, your own intelligence, your own realizations, according to your age also. Prabhupada said, and I'm an old man, I can say anything. So it depends on different factors, on what you can get away with in preaching. See, a little kid can also say anything too. Oh, a cute little child. So according to your situation, you can say and do different things. But you have to just see, according to my situation, how can I be most effective to push for this movement? Here's one. One should show compassion and concern for the person one is preaching to. One may need to even pay attention to his petty material problems if necessary. Actually, we don't hear grumpy guitar, right? We don't hear nonsense talk. But for preaching, sometimes you can do that. It's like Lord Chaitanya. He spent several days hearing Mayavadi philosophy from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You know the pastime? Everyone know the pastime? Lord Chaitanya came from Navadvip and he was dancing, singing in ecstasy with the Hare Krishnas in Jagannath Puri. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is a Mayavadi. He's saying, what is this? You're a sannyasi? And you're singing and dancing with those sentimentalists? This is not proper behavior for a sannyasi. You come, I will teach you Vedanta. So he came there to the training place. And for many days he was hearing Mayavadi philosophy from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya without even saying a word. He very patiently heard Mayavadi philosophy. After several days, Prakashananda Sarasvati took course. So, you're hearing only, don't you have any questions? He said, yes, I have a question. He said this. Yeah, this is what he said. He said, no, I don't have any questions. He said, the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra is very clear, but your commentary is like a covering cloud, it's hiding the meaning. So for many days, Lord Chaitanya patiently heard all this philosophy. But then finally, when it was his chance to speak, he completely defeated Prakashananda Sarasvati Thakura. Sarvabhauma Acharya, that's right. Completely defeated Sarvabhauma. So, sometimes if you want to defeat them philosophically, and we're supposed to do that, it's our duty. That's our duty to defeat them philosophically, to show them the defect of their philosophy. You have to hear their philosophy. You say, you know, I really don't like your Hare Krishna philosophy. Instead of trying to defend the Hare Krishna philosophy, say, oh really? What's your philosophy? And let them get, and ask, and what do you think about this? And what do you think about God? What do you think about the soul? Just have them give a full, complete discourse on their philosophy. Be willing to hear every little detail about their philosophy. And what do you think about, you know, death? What do you think about birth? What do you think about karma? What do you think about vegetarianism? What do you think about this? Have them tell everything. And then you say, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. You see. If somebody attacks you philosophically, don't defend. That's not a very good tactic. The best thing is to, the best defense is a good offense. You ask them what is their philosophy and point out the defects in their philosophy. And then, when they are totally defeated, then they will be... When they see that they're actually defeated, they'll become very submissive. We saw this happen. One boy, he was a football player with one of these universities in California. His name was Randy Stein, was his name. And he heard about Prabhupada was there in Los Angeles, so he came to... He had seen so many gurus, he didn't have faith in any gurus. So he came there to see if he could defeat Prabhupada. He came with the challenge and see if he was a bona fide guru or not. And he had his list. Well, he has to be able to tell the future. He has to be able to do this. He had a whole list of things he had that Prabhupada had to do to be accepted as a bona fide spiritual master. So he came into the room in Prabhupada's quarters in L.A. Prabhupada could immediately understand his mood. As soon as he came in the room, Prabhupada said, why are you such a creepina? A guest? He said, why are you a creepina? And everybody kind of moved back because the energy was very heavy. Prabhupada's energy towards this boy, they kind of moved aside and it was just like him and Prabhupada, you know. And Prabhupada completely smashed him that he was a creepina. And in the middle of this conversation, Prabhupada defeated every single challenge that he had made on his list. Prabhupada went through everyone without even hearing the list. Prabhupada completely defeated everyone and he walked out of the room angry like anything. Oh, I've been defeated. And he went out of the room. He got in his car and drove back to his hometown, Laguna Beach. But on the way, he was thinking, you know, you've actually been defeated. You should just surrender. He turned around. The next day, he went back with a $1,000 donation, which is a lot of money back in those days. And he said, here, give this to your guru. He said, you want to see him? Oh, no, I don't want to see him. But here, he became a devotee. So sometimes defeating people philosophically is a very good thing. We shouldn't be afraid to point out the faults in somebody's philosophy. Prabhupada ordered us to do that. It's not a superiority thing. It's not one-upmanship. It's a service to help somebody get free from their material attachments. People are suffering due to being completely in the grip of false philosophies in this world. They're totally carried away by false philosophies of many, many varieties. So it's our duty to help free them from these false philosophies so they can actually understand that there's only one truth, and that is Krishna, the teachings of Krishna, the Vedic wisdom. There's only one truth. Other scriptures have truth insofar as they repeat the same message as given in the Vedic scriptures. So there's many, many different points. I mean, I could give a lecture on every one of these points. Okay, man-made religions like Hindu, Islam, Krishna, etc. are beliefs that can be changed. They are all dividing humanity, resulting in war as religion, whereas the eternal religion established by Krishna is not a belief, but a fact, a science that cannot be changed. It unites humanity, your comment. Yes, that's true. These different isms, religion is one. Man has invented these different concepts. Actually, it's all politics. To divide religion up into different groups is simply politics. It's somebody's attempt to lord it over somebody else. You see, that's all. What is the difference between preaching and teaching? Actually, there's the same thing. Preaching refers to teaching people about God. That's all. There's many teachings, but when you teach about God, that's called preaching. The non-initiated devotee chants the name of God at the time of death. Will he attain liberation? Well, will he chant the name of God at the time of death? That's the real question. He doesn't want to take himself shelter of a spiritual master. Why didn't he want to take shelter of a spiritual master? Why was it he didn't do that? You see? Because the Shastras say you must do that. Why disobey the scriptures? Say, I'll just obey the scriptures, but I'll just chant the name of God at the time of death. What makes you think he will chant the name of God at the time of death? That's my question. According to Mayavadis and Muslims, paradise is the ultimate abode and rebirth as a human is second best. Please comment. That doesn't sound right. Your comment doesn't sound correct to me, because the Mayavadis are like this. They're not interested in paradise. They have no interest in paradise. A true Mayavadi philosopher, he's simply interested in Brahman. That's all. Not some paradisial place. They don't use the word paradise. The bona fide Mayavadis don't talk about paradise. How can we become a first-class preacher? Well, start off being a third-class preacher. Work your way up. Is it second class? First class. The only one way to become a first class preacher, and that's preach. Distribute books, Harinam, Prasad distribution. Preach. Dedicate your whole life for making a revolution on this planet. My dear ladies and gentlemen, if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. If you're not dedicated to changing the world and making it Krishna conscious, you are a problem. You are a burden to the earth. If you're not dedicated to making the world Krishna conscious, you are a problem. So don't be a problem. You be part of the solution. You dedicate yourself to making the world Krishna conscious. How to avoid getting puffed up when we get success in devotional service, preaching. It happens. Here's the easiest way. Go out and preach again. You may have a tremendous day on Sankirtan, you did 100 Bhagavad Gitas, thinking, wow, I'm really a Maharati now. Go out the next morning again and see what happens. If you think you're a big hotshot now, go out the next morning, you won't be able to leave one book, and your false pride will be smashed. It happened. You know, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he told us a story. He was doing books like crazy, you know, in Eastern Europe, taking all risk in the communist countries, distributing full sets to the college professors. And he came back for Prabhupada's last visit to the UK, and Prabhupada said some, glorified him like anything, and his false ego was just swirling, like it became huge. And the next day, Prabhupada neglected him like he was a nobody. You see? He was thinking he was a big hotshot, now all of a sudden he's a nobody again. You see? So it happens. One can get very successful in preaching, and then all of a sudden, you know, he becomes very proud. But Krishna, if you just keep preaching, that's the best solution. If you get puffed up, the next day you won't get very good results when you're preaching, and Krishna will teach you a good lesson. If you get proud from your preaching, go out and preach again the next day, and you'll have no results the next day. That'll make you humble. But if you always remember, it's only by the grace of Krishna. Whatever results I get, Prabhupada was the perfect example. He said, whatever I have accomplished, actually it is only by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. I have no credit whatsoever in this Krishna consciousness movement. If I have any credit at all, it is simply that I have always obeyed my spiritual master's order. That's it. So if you will have that mood, you'll be okay. Then whatever success I've gotten in my preaching, it is only due to the mercy of my spiritual master. Just like sometimes I try to practice this myself, sometimes people say, oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, wow, that lecture was fantastic. I mean, I've never heard such an amazing lecture. Wow, it was great. It's the best lecture I've ever heard in my whole life. People tell me that sometimes, you know. And I say, thank you very much, but I tell myself, don't get carried away, you know, because I just openly tell, you know, it's only, if anything good came out of my mouth, it's just by Prabhupada's mercy. I'm just a croaking toad, really. Anything good came out of my mouth, it's only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master. So if you always give all credit to your spiritual master, whatever success you have, that's the secret. Don't take any credit for yourself, except one credit you can take is, I am obeying my guru's order. That credit you can take. By His mercy, I've been following His instructions. That credit you can take. I'm following His instructions. But other than that, give all credit to Guru, to Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. How can you distinguish who is innocent and who is envious? Hand him a book. And then you'll see. If they're envious, they go. If they're innocent, they go. Hand them one of Prabhupada's books and you'll immediately see who's envious and who's innocent. How to preach to a fallen devotee so that the person can go back to Godhead. Well, you have to realize that you're the fallen devotee. That's the first thing. If you realize that you're the fallen devotee, and then you can help some others to fallen devotees. You see, we're all fallen devotees. We were devotees in the pastimes of Krishna, and we all fell to this material world, see? Because we foolishly envied the Lord. So you have to be humble. You have to understand your position. Any other questions? Yeah.
You said that we shouldn't hear Western philosophy. When I defeat somebody, when I hear.
We should.
Yes.
For preaching, we can definitely.
My question.
Papa told us to ask them what their philosophy is and hear what it is.
My question. Yeah. That if we are beginners, how much we should hear their philosophy?
Well, we see some people, they go out and they hear the Christians and they come back completely bewildered. Oh my gosh, what am I doing in this Hare Krishna movement? I'm going to hell because I didn't accept Jesus. They come back from Sankirtan all bewildered because the Christians got a hold of them, laid a heavy number on them, and they go, oh no, I'm going to go to hell because I didn't accept Jesus. You know? When is somebody able, strong enough that they can hear? A person has to judge that for themselves, really. Because when you're out there preaching, it's up to you, have to decide if you're strong enough to take it. But I would say this, if your conviction is strong, even as a new devotee, you can take it. I was able to take it. My conviction was very strong from the very beginning. As soon as I accepted this knowledge, I can immediately hear.
You had a background of Christianity. Huh? You had a background of Christianity. You can hear them and you can defeat them. But those who have no clue of Christianity, what they can do?
Well, we should train our preachers up then. Have mock debates, you know. I can pray the Christian and you can play the Hare Krishna. You see, you can have mock debates. See a whole lot of who's the? If they go out preaching here, who's the strongest opposition? The Christians, the Muslims. Who's the strongest opposition? Huh? Muslims. I haven't studied the Islamic faith enough to be able to know. A little bit I studied. You see, they say that you can look at some of their basic arguments. They say, well, there was the Old Testament, the New Testament, and then there was Muhammad. He was the last prophet. They accept Jesus, they accept Moses, but they say the culmination of it now is Muhammad, or the Quran. But actually Lord Chaitanya came after Muhammad. If they say, well, that's historical, you know, there was Moses, there was Jesus, Muhammad, but actually Lord Chaitanya came after Prophet Muhammad. And we have to see the caliber of the people that he was preaching to. In the Quran it says, don't have sex with your mother. What is the caliber of people he was preaching to? See? Can you imagine? This is the low class. It's very low class. This is a religion for low-class people. Don't have sex with your mother. I mean, what kind of... Now, don't have sex with... If I told you, don't have sex with your mother, you'd be offended. How can you even say such a thing? Even the concept is, you know, whatever you do, don't have sex with your mother, you think, well, this is crazy. You see? Don't have sex with your sister or your mother. I mean, you would... This is just, you know, any high-class society, these are not even issues. So you have to understand the Quran was spoken to very, very low-class people. Very, very low-class people. Desert marauder type, very low-class people. And it did make them get them to bow down five times to God, the Supreme Godhead. So there's some advantage they got from doing that, you see. So we have to, we can understand a little bit about the background. But Lord Chaitanya, if you read it, you know, but Lord Chaitanya argued, what sort of religion is when you kill your own mother? You eat, you cow is your mother. What sort of religion is this? So it's a low class. Any religious system where you can kill your own mother, the cow is very low class. Yeah.
Muslims by nature are violent. If you're gonna say all these things to them, they can kill you also.
Yes.
So what is the fucking topic?
The fact is, I have not had an opportunity to debate with Muslims. My only experience I really had with Muslims was very successful. I went to Istanbul, and this was, if you can believe it, New Age Muslims. In Istanbul, there's a whole New Age movement going amongst the Muslims. You know, they're into like meditation and Reiki and all the kinds of stuff like this. Can you believe a New Age movement amongst the Muslims? I went in and preached to the Muslims there, and we did kirtan. We didn't preach any philosophy. We just went in and did kirtan. And they were in complete bliss. We made a video of it. Anybody who wants to see the video, just shoot me an email. I'll send you a link to the email, the video. But it's amazing. This whole hall full of Muslims are just like, ah, Hare Krishna. In complete ecstasy. Hare Krishna. In total bliss. I mean, they're just like, Hare Krishna, Hare... Better than the Hindus. I mean, it was amazing. So there are Muslims out there who are sick and tired of their stupid, you know, sectarian, dogmatic religious system, who are looking for something that's more intelligent, more high class. There are Muslims out there. So the main thing is just be friendly. If you're going door to door and you're meeting a Muslim, just say, Allah Akbar, you know. Oh, you're a Muslim, that's great. Prabhupada was in Tehran and he was appreciating how obviously the Muslims are bowing down to call to prayer. So I also go to the Islamic countries. Malaysia. And, you know, it's just Muslims everywhere. They're all the women have the... Actually, in some ways, we appreciate the Muslims, you see. They still have this idea of to honor the chastity of women, you see. Keep women covered up. Not that women have to go around in bikinis, like in America, you know. The standard for a woman now, when she grows up, is to go down the beach in a bikini, you know. Now I'm a liberated woman. But we appreciate many of the Islamic values. That women should not just be paraded around as sex objects, you know, half-naked women put everywhere. And I mean, we can appreciate a lot of things about... The best thing is to appreciate the good things about them, you see. And the fact that they bow down, I've even seen in the airport. Right there in the Delhi airport, they're down on the floor saying their prayers, you know. Some devotees are afraid to chant their japa in public. Oh, people think I'm funny with this bead bag. But here these Muslims are bowing down on the floor, chanting, doing their Muslim prayers right there in the airport. I mean, I appreciate that, you know. So we should appreciate the good in what they're doing. That's the best strategy. But I'm just saying, for our own understanding, we should understand these other aspects. How it's a very low class, you know, why they do things like kill cows and these kind of things. For our own understanding, we should understand that Christianity, Judaism, Islam, they're all very low class. Prabhupada called their scriptures Mlecha Shastra. They're very low class. Because they're all centered on this killing business. Killing, 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 killing. You see. When we preach to them now, I'll just finish it up here. I was preaching to some Christians one time.
You have a long drive.
Huh?
Long drive.
Okay, we'll make it a short one then. Just a final note. Since I'm supposed to teach them how to preach.
We came late.
Okay, but I'd like to leave on a proper note that I was called to give a lecture at a Christian church Wednesday night. So I just glorify Lord Jesus. He's our guru. We accept him. We love him. He's the Son of God. And this way I went on, and they were all in bliss. Now, if you know in English, the word beef has a twofold meaning. It means, you know, the flesh of the cow. It also means complaint, right? A beef. I have a beef with you. So anyway, the end of my lecture, I said, with you all, we have one beef. I said it with a nice smile on my face. With you all, we have one beef. And that is the beef. You're eating meat. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But they were so mellowed out by the lecture, they didn't mind that I told them they were doing the wrong thing. So we have to be, in preaching, we have to win their friendship, win their admiration, win their trust, and then be honest with them. That's just, in a nutshell, I want to end on that point. So be friendly, win their trust, win their friendship, and then be very frank and honest in a poetic, intelligent way. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Jai.